Never do anything that is outside of who you are. A forced smile is a sign of what feels wrong in your heart, so recognize it when it happens. Living a lie will reduce you to one. And this week's opening quote comes from Ashley Lorenzana. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. Living a lie, that's a lot of what we do. That's really the basis of political correctness, isn't it? Not being able to say what you feel and forcing yourself through situations that you know are wrong and really not saying anything about it, just tolerating wrong behavior when you see it and tolerating what this world is. You know, so many people know that there's something terribly wrong beneath the surface of the world, but they just tolerate it. They swallow their feelings and they let things go on and essentially live a lie due to the politically correct nature of our societies. And this goes a long way to causing tension in other areas of our life when we do this. You know, we repress so much of what we see before us. We just keep our feelings hidden and we never say what we really feel. And we bottle all this stuff up and so it comes out and just explodes in other ways. And we get these violent outbursts within our social system. All simply because people are never really allowed to express themselves fully and are essentially forced to live their lives as a lie. Yeah, that's really the underlying psychological damage that happens from forced political correctness over the consciousness of mankind. You know, if you're simply not allowed to say what you feel all the time, then how is that going to affect you? How's it going to affect you in your psyche? How's it going to affect you physically? You find that people get all sorts of illnesses and all sorts of things, get ulcers and all sorts of problems, all due to bottled up feelings. People simply aren't allowed to express themselves. Everyone has to be nice and smile and be perfect and prim and proper all the time. And it's simply not the way human beings function. It's very, very unnatural to not express the way you feel. And this is what political correctness has done. You know, it's presented to us as something that is beneficial to society and there to bring peace. And it may bring peace in everyday conversations with people on the street, but it causes them to develop problems in other ways, and it causes violent outbursts in other ways, causes violence in the home, causes all sorts of emotional confrontations that manifest in other ways. People will develop emotional problems and end up on medication because they're simply not able to express themselves. They don't feel right about the world. They don't feel right about themselves, and they don't really know why. They just know that they don't feel the way society dictates they should. So they think there's something wrong with themselves and they end up on psychotropic drugs. And this can be a direct result from forced political correctness over the human psyche, and it also manifests in certain ways that disturb the family unit as well. People will start fighting with their spouse over the most ridiculous things because of all of this other bottled up emotion that they've never been able to express, and it just needs to be released some way. And so they have some sort of a violent outburst in the family. Of course, this is what a lot of sporting events are for as well, and movies and all this sort of stuff, action movies, all of these sorts of things are pressure relief valves to deal with the emotional and psychological trauma that is the result of our politically correct societies. I mean, that isn't the only reason for sports games and for action movies, but they certainly serve a very useful function in acting as a pressure relief valve for this type of social tension. I mean, without things like sporting events and action movies, society probably would have erupted into revolution long ago. And as I said, a lot of people will look at this and they won't even realize that something like political correctness could cause social or intellectual or emotional tension, but really it does. It isn't there to help people and to keep things polite at all. It may be there to keep things polite and correct on the surface, but underneath it there is an underlying psychological trauma that happens. And that's why you should always express yourself, ladies and gentlemen. When you have feelings and emotions, don't be afraid to express them. Express them and release them. Otherwise, you hang on to them, you bottle them up, and they come out in other ways. This is why I have no problem giving someone a mouthful if I feel like doing it, because it's better to get it out than to leave it in there. Now, once I've done it, I'm quite good. I don't hold any grudges. I don't hate the person that I might have scolded for whatever reason. But it's always better to get things out and to clear the air than to bottle things up and to let the situation deteriorate in other ways below the surface, because it'll only get worse if you do that. And really, when you look at our society, you look at the way our social systems are deteriorating so rapidly, I think a lot of it is the result of things such as political correctness, social justice warriors, all of this sort of stuff. Social justice warriors are there basically to enforce political correctness. That seems to be their job that they have assigned to themselves. These people who have taken it upon themselves to become the defense force for all these other people who are never asked to be defended by anyone. But anyway, that's another story. But all of these things are a result of this suppression of natural feelings and emotions. And it's very insidious. There's all sorts of reasons this is done. And there's all sorts of reasons why this would be done. And many people really wouldn't see this as anything significant at all, because a lot of people simply don't understand the concept of feelings and emotions. Or they don't understand the concept or the possibility of feeling and emotion actually being a type of energetic language that we are speaking. And this is something that I touched on the show last week. And I actually got a lot of comments and quite a large number of emails from people wanting me to expand on the concepts of the energetic universe, the concepts of the emotional and energetic language that we are speaking, and to talk a little bit more about the meditation experience I had back in 2008. So I'm going to do that with this show, and I'm going to completely remove myself from public events and public affairs and things that are going on in the world at the moment and attempt to discuss a few deeper understandings of the concept of the energetic universe and our means of communicating with this energetic universe, and why things such as political correctness and social justice warriors and all of this negative stuff that's forced on us, the effect that it is actually having on us, and why this may well be being done. So that's kind of the topics that I want to kind of try to cover today. You know, these are the sorts of topics that all of my early shows used to be about back when I first began this radio show. But then as the world situation got more and more desperate and more dangerous, I kind of shifted over to alerting people about the clear and present danger we are facing and the need to address it. You know, you've got all of these spiritual understandings now that I brought you in the first 2 or 3 years of the radio show. So now it's time to apply them. And so that's why I stopped talking about a lot of spiritual stuff, because I figure the information is already out there. But there has been a few requests for me to cover some of this stuff again and to revisit some of these concepts. So that's what I'm going to do with the show today. And just bear with me, folks. I don't really know where I'm going with this. I'm just going to kind of try to figure out what I want to say as I go along. So we'll just get into it and see where we end up. Now, last week I was speaking to you a little bit about the true nature of prayer, what happened to me in a meditation and how I became more aware of the true nature of prayer, and how the true nature of prayer is more of an energetic language. It's giving thanks to the event, the thing that you're praying for, before it's actually happened. Putting yourself in the emotional state where the prayer has already been answered. As I said last week, when a Native American or someone from shamanistic traditions wish to pray for rain, they won't pray for rain, because that's a negative affirmation, because by praying for rain, you are affirming that there is no rain. And what we want to do is create rain. So what you need to do is to give thanks for the rain, not wish for the rain to come. And in order to do this, what you do is you put yourself in the energetic state where you are already standing in the pouring rain. You can smell it. You can taste it. You can feel it. You can feel your toes squishing. You can hear it running down the walls of the hut. You put yourself in the state where the prayer has already become manifest, a state of genuine gratitude, and you will attract that reality to you. And people will call this the law of attraction, but really it's not a law of attraction. The law of attraction is more using the mind to create by thinking about what you want. Whereas what this is really referring to is a law of mirroring, because it is reality mirroring back to you the energetic state that you put yourself in. You know, when you look at the law of attraction, I see the law of attraction as a red herring. The law of attraction is teaching people to manifest with their mind, to manifest in duality, to think about what they want, to focus on what they want, and to search for prosperity as opposed to abundance. I mean, prosperity is economically based. Abundance is your natural state. So there's a subtle difference there. Now, the law of attraction will cause you to manifest in duality, and for every good thing that you manifest, you're likely to manifest something bad to go with it. But the law of mirroring is something completely different. The law of mirroring is understanding that you are speaking an energetic, emotional language all the time. You know, the law of attraction is putting you in mind to focus on this thing that you want, whereas the law of mirroring is taking you completely out of mind and putting you into the energy that is you, the emotional energy that is you, and how to use that emotional energy to affect the energetic field around you. It's a whole different way of looking at it, really. I mean, it's very close. It's a similar concept, but there's a subtle shift in perspective. And it's always this subtle shift in perspective, the subtle shift to the left, I call it, the subtle shift into the left brain. They do this to most things, folks. They lead you very close to the truth. But then there's a little gatekeeping exercise at the end to just take a little step to the left and lead you back into your mind. And that's what they've done with the law of attraction. Whether it's been done on purpose, that's another question, but it certainly seems to be what's been done. And you might say, well, why would they manifest in duality? Why would using the law of attraction cause someone to manifest in duality? Well, you've got to really think about it, folks. If the real prayer is the emotion that you're in, and the law of attraction is teaching you to manifest through your mind, through thought and focus and intention, and it is substituted abundance for prosperity, then what is the emotional state that you are in while you are attempting to manifest this stuff with your mind? Very often, it's a state of greed. It's a state of self-servance, a state of wanting personal wealth, which is quite a selfish state to be in. So if you're manifesting one thing with your mind and your intention, which is this thing that you want, this physical wealth that you want, and your sub-motivation for that, your emotional motivation for that is greed and self-service, and then you consider that energy and emotion is the real prayer, then what are you actually manifesting? And if you really want to take a little bit deeper and look at how this works, you could even begin considering how your body works, how things really operate in this realm that you inhabit, and how you interact with this realm that we inhabit through the vessel that you personally inhabit. See, that's what I look at where I live. When people ask me, where do you live? I say, I live in this vessel that I'm walking around in. That is where I live. Do I have an address? Well, no, I don't have an address because I'm mobile. The vessel is a mobile vessel. It moves around. If I had an address, I'd be stationary like a tree. But I live in a tree. I live in a moving vessel. And what is this vessel? You know, if you really start looking at what consciousness is and you consider how consciousness is not local to your body, consciousness exists in the field around you, and you have a DNA strand in your body that is simply tuned to a particular frequency in the field. This is why if you take a kidney or an organ out of somebody's body and put it into somebody else's body, very often they start experiencing aspects of the donor. And it isn't because the kidney has memory. It's because the kidney has DNA and it is now downloading aspects of that frequency from the surrounding field. So when you can begin to look at your body this way, as something that is tuned to a frequency that harvests a particular frequency, so that frequency of consciousness can experience reality from the unique perspective of that vessel. Think about that one. That's an interesting way of looking at it. And how does the body work? Well, if you can, for a moment, think about your body as being a biological computer that manifests reality around you. And like all computers, it has a power source, it has a CPU. The power source is your heart, and not only does the heart pump blood around your body, but it also provides the electromagnetic energy for your body to function, because everything that happens in your body happens according to electromagnetism. Every thought you have is an electromagnetic thing that happens in your body. Every touch, everything you feel, you touch your fingers on a bench, you feel that because of an electromagnetic signal that's sent to your brain. So it all works on electromagnetism. You are essentially an electrical being inhabiting a biological computer that functions according to electromagnetism. So you can think of your heart as the energy source for this computer and your brain as a quantum instrument that turns possibility into actuality depending on the emotional input it receives from the heart. This emotional input is transferred to the brain from the heart via neuropeptide activity. And you can test this out yourself. You can hear your heart talking to your brain, or you can feel your heart talking to your brain by simply turning the corners of your mouth up. When you turn the corners of your mouth up and you smile, it generates neuropeptides that are produced in your heart and are sent to your brain. And you can feel it. When you turn the corners of your mouth up, you feel a little tingling in your spine. You feel a little tingling sensation in your back. This is your heart telling your brain that you are happy and it needs to manifest and project a happy reality around you. This is how it works. So you can see that this interaction happens even on a physical level because you can literally feel it happening in your body if you pay attention to how your emotions are affecting you physically. I actually did a show on this a few years ago that you could probably still find on YouTube. I think it's on my old channel, and it was called Reprogramming Your Brain. It may be on the AOD Scarecrow channel, but just check out that if you'd like to know more about how this works and how you can actually get yourself out of depression by realizing that you're programming yourself into depression because we become dependent upon neuropeptide activity. This is the food that we give our brain that tells our brain what sort of reality we wish to manifest. And it's very interesting when you start looking into this and you start realizing why some people, many people, are addicted to their emotions, and they realize they are, but they are addicted to their emotions. And as I said, if you are more interested in this, I do highly recommend you check out that old show that I did called Reprogramming Your Brain. But getting back to things and getting back to how your body works, the difference between the activity that goes on in your brain and your heart is the source of all emotion. And when you have these emotional bursts, when you have thoughts and you imbue these thoughts with emotion, it creates an electromagnetic field, an electromagnetic charge that goes out into the surrounding field. Of course it does. In the case of power, in the case of energy, nothing is lost, nothing is gained. Energy only ever converts into something else. And if you create an energy from your body, an electrical force, of course that emanates from you. This is why when you walk into a room, when a couple have been fighting, you can feel the energy in the room. You know they've been fighting without anybody saying anything because you can feel that energy in the air because that's what they've been projecting into it. And this happens all the time with whatever emotions we're experiencing. We are projecting that energy into the field around us. It's an electrical language, an electromagnetic language that we are speaking all the time. There's a conversation going on. We are constantly involved in a conversation, an energetic conversation with the surrounding energy field. And how that field reacts back to us and the reality it mirrors back to us is based on the emotion that we mirror to it. And as I said, this is stuff that I covered extensively on early shows. In fact, I covered it ad nauseum, which is why I stopped covering it, because I was virtually saying this sort of same message over and over again, show after show, trying to help people comprehend how this really works and why it is so important to be aware of the emotional state that you're in and why it is so important to express your emotions when you feel them. But, you know, it's important to do it from the right perspective. You know, if you get angry with someone, what is the motivation behind that anger? You know, is it based in love or is it based in fear? Because really there's only those two extremes. There may be little points in between that mean other things, but ultimately it comes down to love and fear. Now, you can be angry with someone and you can react in a way that is out of love and out of necessity without having hate or anger towards the person. You know, if I was attacked by someone or I saw someone being attacked by someone and I had to defend them or defend myself, I would do so out of a need to do so, out of love for myself and love for the victim. But I wouldn't defend myself out of hatred for the attacker, for the perpetrator of the attack. And in my defense of the attack, I would only defend myself to the point that it stopped the attack. You know, if the attack keeps going, then I will defend myself further, but I'll never become the attacker. I'll never become that which I am fighting against. And my motivation for defense will not be one of violence, it will be one of counter-violence. You know, I believe in violence, but I believe in counter-violence, not a problem. If someone is threatening you, you should stand up for yourself, absolutely, and you should repel that attack. But don't ever become the attacker. Don't ever allow your motivation for that attack or that defense to become hatred or a wish to hurt or injure the perpetrator. Because when you do that, you become that which you are fighting against, and that is the energy you're putting into the field. You know, self-defense in the name of love is a very righteous and very noble thing. Self-defense that turns into hatred is something very, very different. And you've got to be very aware of the energy that you're in and what is behind your motivations. You know, what is your real intention in what you're doing? And it's important to even look at this when thinking about your intention, because what is your deeper intention? Because very often there's a deeper intention below what we perceive our intention to be. Sometimes we're talking ourselves into what we think our intention is, but if we look a little deeper, there's an underlying motivation in there which is not always the best energy to be in. Now, not always, folks, but Very often there's an underlying intention below what we perceive our intention to be. There's a true intention that is much deeper, and very often it's within the shadow realms of ourselves that we really don't like to look at, and it's important that we examine these areas. It really is. In fact, it's people's failure to examine these areas that has allowed the shadow to grow in the world to the extent that it has, because there is a shadow in the world, ladies and gentlemen, and this shadow that exists is a direct reflection of the shadow that exists within ourselves and our failure to deal with this shadow. And much of this is actually due to many people's inability to process certain forms of light, and the New Age movement is most especially guilty in this regard. Many New Age people simply live in a state of fear, and they mistake this state for one of high vibration. And it's very easy to do this, and it's very easy to see how it's done. And again, we return to the concept of what is your deeper intention in your actions, and what is your deeper motivation in what you are doing, and the lifestyle you are choosing, and even the thoughts you are choosing to entertain. Why are many people not prepared to entertain the concept of a certain negativity that exists in the world? Why are people so afraid to look at the shadow? Why do so many people believe that if they keep their vibration high and ignore all of the evil that exists in the world, it will simply cease to exist? And again, it's due to certain people's inability to be able to process certain forms of light. And that may seem like an esoteric statement, but you've got to look at it. What is light? Light is information. All information is light. What is enlightenment? Enlightenment is becoming aware of information. As I've often said, and as the saying goes, enlightenment is a destructive process. And it is a destructive process, folks. Enlightenment isn't anything to do with becoming warm and fuzzy. It isn't anything to do with becoming a guru. It isn't anything to do with sitting in a high vibrational state. Enlightenment is a breaking down of everything you thought was true. It's a breaking down of the veil. It's seeing through the mist to what is really going on here. It's being able to process all forms of light, regardless of whether you choose to attach negative emotion to the information you're processing. You know, I look at all information and I look at it from a third-party perspective. I simply look at it analytically. Now, this is why I'm able to look at really negative stuff and simply put it on the world stage where it belongs and look at what this information means and look at where it leads to. And that's the thing, you know, with all the people that are looking at the problems in the world, if they're not really willing to look at the true depths of the problem, then they're never really going to be able to find healing for the problem. But in looking at these problems, it's very difficult not to become part of it yourself, not to start taking on that emotion yourself. Like when you start looking at some of the things the ruling kakistocracy gets up to, some of the pedophilia and some of the disgraceful things these people do, it starts to pollute your soul. It starts to put a black mark on you. You start to feel dirty and feel polluted yourself, even by looking at the information. So you've got to be able to detach yourself from the information emotionally and be able to process the light in the right way, because what you're looking at is light. It may seem dark and negative, but what is negative is the emotion you're attaching to it, and what is dark is the mere fact that you're looking into the shadow realm. So, of course it's dark. It's just that you don't often look there, and so you're not used to the emotions that it brings up in you and how to process this information, how to process this form of light, because you've simply never looked at it before. You haven't done the groundwork. You haven't done the training. So you've got to comprehend how to emotionally prepare yourself for it, and you've got to truly comprehend what it is you're looking at. It's simply light. And you see, this is where many people in the New Age movement fall down. They'll sit there in a state of high vibration saying, don't show me any negative information because you will lower my vibration. So really they're living their lives in a state of fear of having their vibration lowered. And because they're not prepared to address the shadow that exists in the world, the shadow is allowed to grow. They're caught into the whole concept of where attention goes, energy flows, therefore you create that which you acknowledge. But it isn't like that at all. You know, where attention goes, energy flows for sure, but all of these people are giving their attention to the system. They're all paying to be alive. They're all using the smart grid. They're all doing these things and then perpetuating the shadow by giving it their attention without even realizing that they're doing it. And by their failure to look at the shadow and put their attention there, they are allowing the shadow to grow simply by failing to acknowledge its existence. And they're doing so out of fear and under the belief that by doing this, they will maintain a high vibration. What they're really doing, folks, is living their lives in a state of cognitive dissonance and in a state of fear of ever looking at how the shadow is growing and how really the shadow is being allowed to grow entirely due to their failure to address it, their failure to look at it, their failure to even admit that it exists. And that's where the New Age movement falls down, and that's exactly what it was constructed to do. It was designed to lock people up into a little bubble of spiritual narcissism where they would simply allow the shadow to grow. You know, most New Age people are all focused about themselves, reaching this higher vibration for themselves, me, me, me. This little bubble of meditation where they believe they can sit there and open their eyes one day and the world will change. They're not realizing that all of these spiritual understandings they are gaining are very real and very positive and very powerful understandings, but they need to be applied to the physical world they live in. You know, you live here in physicality, in this world of duality for a reason. And it's because you have the opportunity to participate in the direction this world goes. You have to participate in what the human experience is. Now, we all have the ability to make a difference. We all have the ability to really be able to step back and look at this, regardless of the information that we've even had privy to. Even if you don't believe in the New World Order and all this sort of stuff, just sit back and look at your emotions and look at how it affects the people that you interact with. Look at how it affects your everyday life. You're in a bad mood, you'll go out, everything will happen. You'll trip over, you'll bump into things will break, everything will go wrong around you because of the emotional state you're in, and reality is simply mirroring that back to you. But you can go out there completely positive and things will just work. They just do. You know, you give for the sake of giving, not because you want something back. You give because your heart told you to. It was the right thing to do. Listen to your intuition, all these sorts of things. And we just miss out on that world because we're too caught up in this superficial thing that has been created around us, and we don't realize we're speaking this emotional language, and most people are just so shut off. They're so shut off. They're walking around like little zombies all the time, or they're worried about something, or they're stressed about something, and even the underlying motivations of what they're doing in their social interaction is very much often about trying to climb to the top of the social ladder. And even if they're using something like the law of attraction, it's all about creating prosperity and wealth for themselves. So there's so many selfish motivations just in our general daily activities. And when you consider that this is an emotional language that we are speaking to the field around us, it's no wonder that our societies have reached the point of decay that we now see them in. But I think we've reached break time here, folks. I'm going to have to leave it there for now. We'll go and have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company. And I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Now, as I was saying before the break, a lot of the problems that we face today is due to many people's failure, their inability, should I say, to be able to process certain forms of light. You know, the information is just too dark for many people to want to look at. But the thing is, they don't really even have to look at the information because we've already done it. There's many people who've investigated these things and who've found out the truth about what's going on. The real problem is that in our society, people's inability to process light and their failure to look at the shadow runs so deep and is so profound that they fail to even want to acknowledge the existence of this type of corruption. Many people know that their government is corrupt. They know that politicians are liars. They just expect politicians to be liars. They just expect them to be dishonest. But they don't realize how deep this dishonesty goes and how deep this corruption goes, and they're simply not prepared to look. And as I said, it isn't even a matter of them looking. It's a matter of even acknowledging that that's how deep this corruption goes. And that's a real problem. And again, even coming back to the social mechanisms that are in place, a lot of what causes people to not even want to address these things is, again, political correctness. They're just not prepared to think outside the box or say anything that anybody might disagree with or that may rock the boat in any way because they don't want to upset their peers. They don't want to be seen as a different person who might be thinking outside of the social box. You know, and again, it causes these schisms inside us. You know, when you really look at political correctness, it's an interesting phenomenon. It's almost ironic because, as I said earlier, the social justice warriors have sort of set themselves up as being the defenders of political correctness. But really, the underlying need for them to even do that is based on political correctness. It's based on their inability to be able to express themselves in normal ways throughout society. And so they need to release that tension some way by becoming a social justice warrior and going defending all these people who never asked to be defended. You know, and they say they're doing it in order to defend political correctness, but they don't realize that the political correct programming is what has even led them into having this mindset to begin with. And that's a strange way to look at it. I mean, they may say, yes, well, that's of course, our motivations are based on defending political correctness, but they don't understand what the frustration inside them that makes them want to do that is the politically correct mindset that they've been forced to adhere to throughout their life. You know, this inability to be able to express their emotions, all this built up tension that it creates, and they simply need to release that tension some way. So they go out and abuse other people in the name of defending others in the name of social justice. But it's all a program. And again, folks, when you look at how deep this programming goes and when you look at what the problems are that we actually face as a society, I mean, I know I've banged this drum so many times, but if you really look at all of these problems, you can trace the source of all of these problems, the source of all crime, the source of all scarcity, to government. You can trace it all to the people who sit at the top, who write the legislation, who allow things to flow in certain directions. You know, even if you've got environmental damage happening somewhere in your community, you've got oil spills or some corporate entity doing whatever, it's because there's legislation that exists which allows them to do that because certain politicians have had their palms greased with certain favours and they've just written down on paper that people can do these things. So that's why all this stuff happens, you know, and we fail to address this because we fail to look at the shadow. We fail to address what is really going on in the world. We fail to acknowledge the fact that the world is run by criminals. And this is a game where the New Age movement falls down. Because if you're going to be sitting there in love and light and thinking that you're going to be able to create all of this wonderful stuff, you've got to acknowledge what has brought us to this point. You know, what has brought the world to the current state of degradation? And as I said, it's all been done due to the actions of government and the actions that these people allow to be performed by corporate entities, by the war machine, by the moving of commodities around the world, and by the marginalization of certain nations. And all of the concept of nations and the concept of people pitting themselves against each other and all these countries going to war with each other, it's all contrived, it's all theater, and it's all done in order to lead the world into a certain direction. And what that direction is, again, is this smart grid. And pay attention, folks, because as I've said so often lately, regardless of what is going on in the world around you, regardless of what is going on the political stage, on the economic stage, regardless of what is going on with all the theaters of conflict we've got around the world, regardless of who is posing as the enemy and who is posing as the good guy, who's the villain, who isn't this week, underneath it all is the smart grid. The tech that is rolling out in every single country. You know, it may not be rolling out as quickly in the third world simply because the third world doesn't have the ability to do this, but it's coming online everywhere and it will come to the third world sooner than later. You can guarantee that. So pay attention to what is really happening below the surface, ladies and gentlemen. It's important that you do. But again, even when looking at this information, it's important to also be aware of what emotion you're attaching to the information. Just step back and look at it analytically, look at it all as tools, all the stuff that's out there are tools that we can use as well, and look at the direction we can take things if we choose to do so. You know, as I've been saying, folks, the cryptocurrency is a tool, all the information coming out from QAnon is a tool, all the knowledge we have of common law and the Justinian deception and the things the Empower movement is doing. These are all tools, and it depends on how we use them as to what future we're going to create. But getting back to our emotions creating reality and how this emotional signature affects reality around us, this is one of the reasons for political correctness. It's one of the reasons that they are trying to suppress our emotions so much. But even in that, the rise of the social justice warriors due to this politically correct programming should show you just how difficult it is to repress these emotions. Because as I said, the rise of the social justice warriors is simply due to all of these suppressed emotions anyway, because these emotions have to find an outlet somewhere. And if these people simply aren't into sports games or action movies or any of the other outlets that are provided for us, well, they're going to find something else, like becoming a social justice warrior. Joining the Infada movement or something like this. Joining the women's movement. All of these sorts of things are due to repressed emotions. So it doesn't really matter how much they try to repress them. At this point, they still find a way to come out. And of course, really, when you look at this, you see there's a deeper reason for this as well, because they want them to come out. They want people to have all these pent-up emotions, because then it erupts in violence in society. And violence and tension on the street is always good for the police state. It always makes great headlines, and it always is used to justify more power for government. And by creating these sorts of situations as well, you know, you get people that are so messed up in their emotions eventually that they are able to put them on medication. So they just deal with it this way. And this all leads you into this smart grid and this transhumanist grid as well, because within the smart grid and the transhumanist grid, emotions won't really be considered at all. You know, even when you look at some of the things that are coming online, such as smart contracts that I was speaking to someone about the other day, you know, smart contracts that are coming in the third world, you know, where there's homeless people and people that are in terrible states of need are buying into these smart contracts. And you can look at the Luna coin as well, which is asking people to please donate DNA in exchange for Luna coins, cryptocurrency. So you can see where they're going with all this as well. And what they will end up creating, folks, like I said, is this completely autonomic AI system. And it will know everybody's DNA. It will know exactly what's going on with everybody. Will it even know what frequency it can find these people in the field? You've got to wonder about that. That's a whole nother level. You know, when you get back to what I was talking about before, how your consciousness is literally plucked from the field by your DNA because it's tuned to that frequency. If the AI has control of this or knows what that DNA sequence is it able to mimic that sequence? Is it able to affect the way that sequence functions in the field or where that sequence comes from? You know, will it be able to affect people's consciousness at the deepest level? That's the question with that. And of course, the other question you would have to ask with this is if they put your DNA within a program, within a computer, will you suddenly appear in virtual reality? Will they be able to clone you or mimic you within virtual reality? Simply because they have that DNA, they have that sequence, and so if they are able to put an electrical charge through it within a mainframe, perhaps they are actually able to harvest that consciousness from the field and trap it within the mainframe. And that's even another way to look at it and another thing to think of when you look at the possibilities of this type of technology and this type of research and where it could be going and where the ruling cacistocracy might like to take it. Again, folks, when you look at all of this stuff, when you look at all of the great research that is coming through and all the great possibilities there are, you have to take into account the fact that those who are in control of this technology at the moment are a criminal class because the world is run by criminals. So it's important to step back and look at where all this research is going and where it can be taken and what we can do with it if we get a handle on it and we get to understand exactly what is going on. You know, you've got to keep up to date and be aware of what they're doing so you know what action you can take to circumvent the plans that the ruling cacistocracy has. Because again, all these things are tools, all these things that can be used to our benefit if we're sensible about it and as long as we are aware of what is going on. You know, as I've said so often, what is happening is this AI control grid, this fully AI system that is going to be running everything, and it's coming online in every country. And that's why we're seeing so much theater in the world today. And the reason people are having so much trouble dealing with it is because of the emotional trauma that they're having and even acknowledging much of this information, because people simply don't understand this emotional language that they're speaking. So it all ties together. But again, the system will get us to a point where we're not even experiencing this emotional language because we'll be locked into a virtual reality where we're basically just locked into this whole pleasure by the minute virtual world, which is where they want to lead us into. But one of the main things they're doing underneath all this, of course, folks, is depopulation. And that's something that a lot of people just don't want to look at as well, because there is a huge depopulation agenda happening. You know, a few shows ago, I said that we're leading into a welfare state where people will be on welfare, but it won't be everybody. You know, the people that will be on welfare will be the people that are needed to look after the infrastructure a little bit, because they'll need human hands to do this, and so they'll need a certain amount of people alive. And they'll be on a welfare, they'll be on some type of welfare cryptocurrency type of system, because there won't be any real work for them. They'll just be operating within a virtual reality and it'll just be normal to them. But the rest of the people will be depopulated, and that is an ongoing thing. That's a lot of what the chemtrails are about, the stuff in the food, all the stuff that is directed at us. It's coming from so many directions. But ultimately, it's got to lead into this AI system in order for this to happen, because within the AI system, they're able to get away with it, because the AI system removes humans from the equation, so therefore there is no human accountability. Now, even when you look at things such as the Empower movement, what's happening now with these liability notices, what happens when this is all dictated by an algorithm, when it's all AI, and there is no one to send the liability notice to? That's the question. Because that is what the AI control system is all about, that is the way the smart grid will function, and that is what the Internet of Things is for. it's a full total lockdown, and it's a means of removing humans from the equation. And it will be a full total lockdown into an impartial universal law dictated by AI, whereby people will very likely be recognized by their DNA. And within such a system, you better not express too much emotion, ladies and gentlemen, because if you do, you will be penalized, you will be barred from services, and that's simply the way it will go. A race of automatons too scared to think outside of the box in any way, monitored by their DNA, and that's the future that they want to lead us into if we fail to pay attention, and we fail to realize the consequences of people not embracing their emotions and why it's become so necessary for the government and the system itself to work to repress people's emotions. Because this is an emotionally based reality, and they can't ever lead us into this AI system if we really figure out what's going on here. And most especially if we are taught to acknowledge and embrace our emotions, because if people really paid attention to the world, if people really looked around them, if people really acknowledged the corruption of government, if people even looked at the implications of their politicians being habitual liars and them simply being okay with it, you know, why are they okay with it? You know, if people simply looked at the reality of our surroundings, the reality is that they would be angry. They would be incredibly angry, and it would be wholesome, righteous anger that they have every right to feel. And that's the problem of political correctness. It prevents you from getting angry, and folks, righteous anger is a beautiful thing, and you need to look around you at what's being done to this beautiful world we live in and the future that has been created for our children, and you need to get angry. If you're not able to do that by simply looking at the state the world is in today, then perhaps you're able to do it by considering where we are being led and what a fully autonomic AI system would really be like, and how humanity would end up being completely controlled by such a system simply because all emotion has been removed from the equation. And you've also got to see how well this would serve the ruling kakistocracy. You know, if you want to sit at the top and just control things, and you want the system to control itself, then you remove all decision-making from humans and allow the machine and the system to do it all. And again, you get to a point where all you've got is desirables and undesirables. And simply by being named as an undesirable and being barred from having certain essential services, you're led into a state of criminality and you end up in the smart prison, and that's how they deal with dissent. And that's the way it can go, and that's the direction that they're leading us into. It's into this AI-controlled Internet of Things, this total surveillance smart grid. But also, when it becomes fully autonomic, what you'll have is a system that governs the people, and we won't have any say over it. It'll be what the AI wants to do. Like I said last week, if you get blacklisted from the system and the machine said so, well, then the machine said so, and there's very little you can do about it. There's no appeal process. And this will be done by creating a completely impartial system. Now, by putting the AI in control of everything, including the legal system, you get to a point where you don't even really need government, because the AI will run the whole thing. Government will exist only as figureheads, you know, the minister of this or the minister of that. But it will be in name only. It won't really achieve anything. They won't really be doing anything. It will all be run by the AI, and the AI will act impartially, which means there will not be any emotion involved in any decision. So in a situation where there's crime committed, or someone's put in a state of hardship, or someone does harm to somebody else, the AI will simply look at it impartially, and it will judge, probably economically, on what damage has been done to whatever party, and it will simply judge. And if it perceives someone to be not acting within accordance to the system, again, they will be blacklisted, they will be barred from having access to certain services until they start performing in the way the system dictates they should perform, and saying what the system dictates they should say, doing what the system dictates they should do, and even thinking what the system dictates they should think. And you might hear that and you think, well, that's a little extreme, you know, because if someone's had harm done to them, then perhaps they should be penalized in some way. But then you've got to step back and consider what is considered to be harm. What is considered to be doing harm to people? Have a look in California now, folks. If you think outside the box in any way, if you look at someone the wrong way, if a man even talks to a woman when he's out at a nightclub because he thinks she's attractive, she can get him on sexual harassment. If anybody does anything or says anything outside the box or at all, or expresses any opinion in any way at all, they get sued for it. I mean, this is the sort of thing that is going on in California. This is what political correctness does, where any thinking outside the box at all becomes doing harm to someone. Oh, you've offended me, therefore you've done harm to me, therefore you will be penalized by the system because you thought outside the box. That's the way you've got to look at it, because that's the way it will go, because that's what political correctness does. And again, it comes down to what people consider harm to be and what the system considers harm to be. And as I've said so often lately, within this system, there will be only two types of human, desirables and undesirables. And it will be your choice by the actions you perform and the things you say and the thoughts that you have as to which category you fit into. And depending on which category you fit into will determine which services you have access to. Now, considering all this and considering that I wasn't going to talk about the political agenda at all today, and I seem to have just done so, but bringing it back to what I was saying at the beginning and putting all this in perspective and seeing what an important role emotions actually do play in what's going on here, you can sort of begin to start to understand how to deal with this, and you can begin to see why they've done the things that they've done and why they've sought to control our emotions so much, why they've sought to hide the true nature of prayer from us as well. And look, you can confirm, like I was saying, the true nature of prayer, how it's really an energetic statement. Even if you want to look at biblical texts, have a look at some of the early biblical texts and some of the prayers and the sacrifices that were made to God by the early Christians. You know, people such as even Cain and Abel, you could go back that far. Look at Abraham. Look at these people and the sacrifices they made to the Lord. What they were doing was giving thanks in those prayers. They knew they were putting themselves in that energetic state, and they went out and they gave the offering as thanks to God, as thanks to what had happened, as thanks to the reality that they wanted to happen. They didn't ever pray for something. This has been a sidestep that's been sort of put in there by the church, and it's been put in there by many religions. Christianity isn't just the only one that's done it, but it's acknowledged when you look at the texts themselves, when you look at the original texts of these religions. You can see that this was the method of prayer that was used way back if you read the Old Testament and all of this sort of stuff. So there's no doubt that they knew exactly what they were doing when they took that little sidestep to the left and led us into our left brain and got us to make negative affirmations in our prayers and led us away from the emotional language that we are speaking all the time. Then they created a society whereby our emotions are so convoluted and so mixed up, and we are so disconnected from ourselves, even right back as far as, like I was saying a few shows ago, the loss of the family unit, the breakdown of the family unit, the fact that people are simply searching for that basic attention that they never got from their parents, that basic need to belong, that basic need to be nurtured and to be loved and to have value, and they don't even know what they're looking for because they have no reference point. You know, it's the same when looking at this emotional language. You try to bring this information to people, but very often they don't have a reference point. Unless perhaps you can talk to them about the way the air feels when you walk into a room where a couple's been fighting and you can cut the air with a knife. Perhaps you can get them to think about it in this way and they can start to comprehend the physical manifestation of emotions, not only within their own body, but also in the field around them, and what this reality is and how the law of mirroring really works, and where we're being led with all of this stuff that is going on in the world today. You know, step back and look at it all, folks. Step back and consider yourself to be an electrical being. At least consider the possibility of you being an electrical being. And this is irrespective of whether you want to look at the higher self and the soul and the astral body and all this sorts of stuff, whatever consciousness is, wherever it comes from, consider how this vessel that you inhabit actually functions. Because how it functions is according to electromagnetism. I mean, you're 85% water. We're all 85% water. What animates this? What allows this vessel, which is simply sinew and water and muscle and blood and all this stuff together, what gives it this sentience? What gives it the ability to do what we do? And how does it really work? It's electrical. Of course it's electrical, because everything is electrical, because the universe is electrical. Everything is electrical. The field around you is electrical. The field around you isn't empty. It's full of energy. This is the energy that Tesla tapped into, and it is the energy, the fabric that makes up this reality. It's all energy. It's all energetic. Now, this body is simply our interface with this realm that we've created, this physicality we've come to visit, this physicality we've come to experience. And it's what we do with it while we're here that is the important thing. But the thing is, We've been played. We've been absolutely played. We've been led into a situation of complete people farming. And how we got here, whatever's really going on, what's going on behind the curtain, well, that's anybody's guess at this stage. You can claim you know all you want. You can argue about it all you like. You can claim it's the Freemasons. You can claim it's the Archons. You can claim it's Jesuits, it's Jews. You can be a Christian and claim it's Satan. You can claim it's aliens. You can claim it's anything you want. But ultimately, you don't know. And ultimately, it's irrelevant at this point. What is relevant is the clear and present danger that we are in. You know, ultimately, folks, it just depends on what you've looked at and what religion you adhere to and what research you've been able to assimilate and what conclusions you've come to. But ultimately, we don't know. But I'm sure we're going to find out if we can first establish freedom. And the way to do that is to become aware of yourself. I mean, that's the first step, folks. If you really want to establish freedom and peace and prosperity and abundance in this world, then the first step is to be aware of yourself and to be aware of the power that we each hold to bring this world to a better place. But again, you can't be in fear of everything that's happening. You've got to look at it. Look at how we're being played. Look at how you're being emotionally played and how this fear and how this emotional state you're in is affecting the reality around you and what we can do with all these tools. Now, if you step back and look at it objectively, put it all on a worldwide stage and step back and disconnect yourself from it all emotionally and just see what we can use and what we can build and how we can take it in the direction we all want to take it. There's very few people that are leading us in this bad direction, folks. Very, very few people are running this ship, steering this ship of state. And there's a lot more of us than what there is of them. If we can just get a little focus, then I think we can lead ourselves to a very good spot. And in fact, I think we're going to. I'm really expecting to see some positive changes in 2018. I think a lot of good things are going to happen. If people can maintain their focus, if people can gain a little bit of focus on this smart grid and see where we're being led, I think we're in for a pretty positive time. So all is certainly not lost yet, folks. And I've certainly covered a few convoluted topics on the show today. I didn't really know where I was going when I started, and I'm hoping that you managed to get something out of it. And I sort of kept it on some sort of track and kept it coherent anyway. But please do pay attention to the smart grid. Do pay attention to where we're being led and pay attention to what tools we have available to us to alleviate this problem. And on a little bit more of a positive note, something else I'd quickly like to touch on before we reach the end of the show, because we are almost at the end of the show, folks. It seems to have come around very quick again. It did for me anyway. But something else that I've noticed, I mean, I don't know how many people were into the Mayan calendar and the whole 2012 date and the big shift that was supposed to happen, and how many people were actually disappointed that the world didn't change on December 21st, 2012. And I would suggest that there was actually a big shift that happened on that date, folks. I think that what happened on that date was we reached the absolute rock bottom of human consciousness. And since that date, we've started to climb back up and we've seen a growing awareness in the human psyche. People aren't completely awake yet. There's still a lot of people that are asleep, but we've seen a real development of positive energy. Well, I have anyway. I've noticed it. It's become palpable to me. And this has happened since this 2012 date. And I don't think it was a non-event at all. And like I said, the future is what we make it. But we've got to be aware of what we're doing and what we're really involved in here. This is an emotional journey. This is an electrical universe, and emotions is our real interface. And ultimately, if you can look at it in the right perspective, you can view your entire life as being a prayer. Really, it is. It's an emotional prayer. And what happens in this reality is based on the emotional input that you put into it. It's just something to consider anyway. But folks, we're completely out of time. I've really pushed the limit on the show today. So thank you to all those who came and listened to me today. Again, I'm speaking at Acapulco next month. I'm speaking at the Open Mind Conference in Ireland on the 2nd or 3rd of March. I'm speaking at AV9 in the UK on the 7th of May. And I'm speaking at Regeneration in LA in probably late May. And I'm doing combo workshops in Hawaii from June 6th until June 22nd. And I'll get banners and information up for that on the website when it becomes available. Thank you to all those who continue to listen to the show. Thank you to all my Patreon supporters. Again, you are the only thing that keeps this show on the air. And thank you so much for helping me share this information. And I know it's been kind of a convoluted journey on the show today. I've sort of covered a lot of ground. I wasn't really sure where I was going with it, but I think it's really important to consider these possibilities, at least consider them. I'm not saying it's all true. It's simply my perspective. Everything that I offer you is my perspective. That's all anybody ever offers you, folks, is their perspective. But these understandings have really helped me on my path through this journey, and it's just something that I humbly offer for your consideration. But that is it for me, folks. I'm now completely out of time. I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take very good care until then. In Lakesh.